Good afternoon. Let me read to you some scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I like to collect quotations. Not only quotations I agree with, but sometimes those that I disagree with. And one of those that I disagree with was one that was spoken this week by our President Biden when he said, MAGA crowd, most extreme political organization in American history. I would argue with that. Recent American history, I guess he said, not American history as a whole, but recent. I would argue, though, that Antifa and Black Lives Matter are more extreme. The Ku Klux Klan, that's fairly recent, was and is, if there's anything left of it, more extreme. I believe January 6th was lied about. It was not anything anywhere near what it was, and some of the wrong things were done, I don't think were done by the MAGA crowd. I think also many of my fellow believers would consider themselves part of that crowd, the Make America Great Again crowd. And even if January 6th was wrong, and I'm not saying it was perfect, I wasn't there, I don't know for sure everything that happened there, but I wasn't part of it, and I consider myself somebody who wants to make America great again, just like I consider Black Lives to matter. And yet one group I agree with in the way they do things, and one thing I don't agree with exactly how they're doing things. Yet I want to talk today as a believer, not just a MAGA crowd person, because I think when Biden says that the MAGA crowd is so extreme, in some ways he's talking about not just the MAGA crowd, but Christians, especially Bible-believing Christians. Why do I say that? Because he thinks it's extreme if we do not let a woman play sports, I mean a man who pretends or thinks he is a woman play sports with men, with women, I mean, that is extreme if we're doing that. Or extreme if we don't want pedophiles to teach our five-year-olds in school. That's extreme. We need the pedophiles there teaching our kids about sex. That's what he believes, that we're extreme if we don't agree with those kind of things. And how do we handle this? How are we to be, as believers in society, when we deal with these kind of things? Should we be less extreme? Is MAGA really extreme? I think MAGA was not that extreme, especially as represented by Donald Trump. He's less extreme than I am against some sins. That is for sure. I would be against these sins. And not because I'm a hater, which is typically what is said, or homophobic, because I'm not scared of any homosexual person. In fact, I think I love homosexual people as much as they love themselves, or more. I would like to see them saved. I'd like to see them not heading on their way to hell. And that's why I think being extreme, I'm not, MAGA is definitely not extreme. I think that we as believers need to be more extreme than the MAGA crowd in general, and more extreme in particular ways. The first way we need to be more extreme is we need to be more extreme against sin. Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good." Let love be without hypocrisy. Love isn't love if it loves what is evil, if it loves what is wrong, if it loves what is destructive. And there are certain sins that are extremely destructive. They destroy the family, they destroy life, they destroy abortion. The New York Times, there is a quote from the New York Times: "Abortion saves lives, pregnancy kills." That's what the New York Times says. There's another quote of somebody I don't agree with. Does pregnancy kill? Does abortion save lives? I have to disagree with that statement from the New York Times. I can't stand with it. I can't pretend that I am loving if I think that killing babies is a really great thing that we need to fight for. They're extreme in fighting for it, the killing of babies. We need to be extreme in fighting against it. And yet, even before we do that, we need to repent of our own sins. Whatever our sins are, even if they're a little, we need to fight against those before we speak against the sins of anyone else. But we can. When we do, when we have battled with our own sins, when we get victory over them, then we can speak out against others, against the sins of others, hopefully in a loving way, hopefully in a kind way, but not in a weak way. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." One of the ways we expose the unfruitful works of darkness is by walking and living in the light ourselves, by being truly loving people, by being forgiving people, by being ready to embrace those who are different than us, not though agreeing with everything they do or say, but saying, "I do love you, I do care for you, I do want your welfare. I just don't agree with what you're saying or what you're doing." And we need to be more of that as we speak out. We need to be extreme in our love, extreme in our love. Jesus says, "Bless those who curse you. Hey, do good to them who despitefully use you and persecute, or pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies," he says. And we are called to do that. We're called to be extreme in that sense. And yet here we are also called to be more extreme in obedience. The old Christian wedding ceremony, I would always read through it because I wanted to do it. Oh, when I would counsel couples that were coming to be married by me, I would marry them as a pastor. It had always in it this line for the wife to the husband, and that was love, honor, and obey. And obedience of the wife to the husband is part of the relationship as far as the Bible is concerned. Submit to your husband. It doesn't mean that you're a dog, but I remember every time it seemed like, maybe not every time, but it seemed like every time that I would get to that point when I would read that, they would be, "Oh, this ceremony is so wonderful. We like this, we like that. Yes, we want this to be this way." And then when I'd read that, love, honor, obey from the old ceremony, somewhere the wife or even sometimes the future husband would put up their hand, or they'd say, "Pastor, just one word we want out of there, the obedience." And they would always say, when they complained about the obedience, they'd say, obedience is for dogs. Is that true? Well, if we look at Scripture, obedience is for Christ, and obedience is for Christians. Here in this passage that I read, or connected to the passage I read at the start, Philippians 2, 12 through 15, and that comes right after that passage that ends in Philippians 2, 11, that starts, or near the beginning, has this phrase, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to have the mind of Christ. And what is that mind? We see some of it in verse 8 where it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was extremely obedient to the will of the Father, even to the point of death, and not just any death, the death of a criminal, the death of the cross. He did that for us, and we're to have that same mind that he has. And when that part of Scripture is finished, the first application after it, as it's already been applied by Paul, is, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, they were very obedient, not as in my presence only, they're being obedient to the Apostle Paul and to his apostolic teaching, which was ultimately from God, and they were obedient to that, he says, but now much more in my absence, even though I'm not there to watch over you to make sure you're obedient, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Why do obedient people will and do God's good pleasure? Because God is working in that. We're working out our salvation when we are obedient to God. We are showing that to the world, because in the next verses it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Lights in the world. Here, the word light there can be translated as a star. A star in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in the pitch dark of night, we shine. I remember in my first, well, I wasn't actually pastor of the church, but I was a member of Evangelical Free Church. And there was a couple there named Eddie and Edna. And Eddie and Edna were very godly people. They were married to each other, and they had a beautiful marriage. And they also loved the Lord, and you saw that. You could see by their marriage their witness for Christ. She loved him and he loved her. They had a glorious marriage. And here obedience was shown, I saw in their lives. They were obedient to God. They were obedient to Christ. Edna, I believe, was obedient to Ed. Ed was a servant to Edna, just like the Scripture says he should be, and they were a witness in this, in a dark and crooked generation. If we are extreme against sin, we will be more extreme than the average MAGA person. If we are extreme in obedience, we will definitely be more extreme than your average Christian is today. We like to be a little bit like the world and a little bit, you know, it's cool to be a little bit rebellious. And sometimes you're called legalistic if you obey God's law. But obedience, you know, in Romans, it says love is the fulfilling of the law. And it's loving, in that passage, it talks about one of the things is adultery, and And it's not loving to commit adultery or to steal or to kill. Abortion is definitely not loving. We need to be extreme in this way. Well, I started with the Biden quote about the MAGA crowd, most extreme political organization in recent American history. And I believe some of the things that Biden and the Democrats are doing require a extreme response. They have no problem, it seems now, right now as I'm speaking. The Supreme Court is being threatened by mobs, people who want to go to the conservatives who are against abortion, go to their houses and protest. And some are saying they're going to protest against Catholic churches. And they will go out there and maybe there will even be violence. I don't know. Either towards these, they want to make you feel that that's going to happen. And we have to be extreme ourselves. Not in the same way that an ungodly world is extreme, because they are extreme in violence. They're extreme in hate. They show that they are the true haters. We need to be extreme in love. We need to be extreme in our stance against sin. Barry Goldwater, who some say was extreme, he has a quote too. Probably hardly anybody would remember this, but extremism, he says, in defense of liberty, is no vice. Tolerance in the face of tyranny, which is what we have when they're trying to control our speech, tolerance in the face of tyranny is no virtue. Let me say that again. Extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. Tolerance in the face of tyranny is no virtue, Barry Goldwater. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it calls us to be extreme followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and was obedient unto death. And as he did that, you gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And Father, we're called in those verses right after that to obedience, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are called to shine as stars in a dark world. Father, that is maybe different for everyone here, how we do that. I know it's not always my point to be involved in politics and things like that. But some of this is no longer political. When we're talking about killing babies, whether it's in the womb or out of the womb, when we're seeing the violence that is going on and killing sometimes okayed for political reasons, okayed by some who are saying it's extreme to fund the police. We need to pray against these things, and we also need to speak out against them, because it's getting to be too much. And Father, we know you are in control. We know that you're able to bring about revival. Father, we may have to suffer before that, and we pray that you'd help us to be ready. Help us to be strong. Help us to be true. Help us to be bold. Help us to be your people and do your will. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.